John McGahern famously thought that writers' lives should be as uneventful as possible. Not for him, then, the high drama of Fyodor Dostoevsky, 19th century literary star, author of Crime and Punishment and The Brothers Karamazov. Dostoevsky was sentenced to death as a young revolutionary, went through a mock execution and spent 4 years hard labour, served 4 years hard labour in Siberia. For the rest of his 59 years, he juggled chronic ill health, gambling addiction, doomed love affairs and a sizeable extended family, which he supported financially. No surprise that Dostoevsky might have intended to write his own autobiography, but sure, where would he have found the time when all of those things were happening to him and around him? Now, Alex Christofi, who has brought a fellow novelist's eye to the action-packed life of Dostoevsky in a book called Dostoevsky in Love. And Alex describes this as less a biography than a reconstructed memoir. I'm delighted to speak with Alex Christofi this evening. We'll get back to how you're reconstructing things in a moment, Alex. But it's quite a life. It's packed full of adventure and misadventure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, most writers, you're supposed to spend all your day at your desk. Dostoevsky had obviously one of the most eventful lives of probably any novelist in history. The way that he would get his writing done is he'd stay up until about 6 a.m. Writing in silence, and then he'd kind of sleep through the whole morning so that he wasn't bothered. But his waking hours were kind of packed with incident.
And to what extent does that incident then make its way directly into his own writing and into the plots of his novels?
Well, I think some of the most powerful parts of his writing in his fiction have a kind of autobiographical basis. Now, obviously they're novels, but, you know, if you look at something like the novel The Idiot, there's this incredible description of what it's like to have an epileptic fit. And later on in the novel, he describes what it's like to go through, to be put through a mock execution. And anyone reading that novel would have known about Dostoevsky's life and that he was writing from experience. And I have to say, when you read those passages, your heart's really in your mouth. I mean, it's so immediate, and it's very clear that he's writing from experience.
Well, tell us a little bit about that mock execution, which is an extraordinary event in his life. He was, early mid-20s at the time?
Yeah, he was in his late 20s. So basically his first novel made him famous literally overnight. A top critic kind of burst into his room at 4 a.m. to tell him that he was a genius. But then things kind of quickly went downhill. He ended up falling in with this circle of revolutionaries, and they all, they wanted to end serfdom, which was a kind of a noble goal, but there was still censorship. And some of them wanted to really, you know, start revolution and bring down the Tsar. So he was arrested and held in a fortress for a few months while they decided what to do with him. And eventually they took them out to a parade ground. There were six of them there. They tied the first three to the post to a post in front of a firing squad and put hoods over their heads. And just as the rifles were raised, they were waiting for the order to fire, and a horse galloped up and said, "The Tsar has decided to grant you your life." But he did have to serve 4 years hard labor in Siberia and another six as an army private. So he didn't get off lightly, I wouldn't say.
No. He said, and as you say, then that particular, hardly surprising that particular event should make it into a novel then later on in his life. But you mentioned his success with that first novel, Poor Folk. His own early life, how poor was he himself, or how did poverty impact on his childhood?
Well, he was actually born in a hospital for the poor. It's not that he was he was a resident because his father was an army surgeon. His father worked really hard and basically managed to just about scrape his way onto the lowest possible rung of the hereditary nobility. So technically speaking, he was in the sort of gentry class, but he was nowhere near as sort of posh as all the contemporaries he was writing who became equally or more famous. So... Sorry, go on.
Go ahead. You can finish.
He was in this hospital for the poor. His early experiences would have been staring out the window at people, you know, very sick people in dressing gowns. They did actually manage to scrape together enough money to buy a small estate in the country, and he loved going there. But after a couple of years, it burnt down. So his life throughout his life, you have to say he was one of the unluckiest writers there was.
Yeah, so the estate burns down. His mother dies when he's quite young. His father is also dead, you know, at a relatively young age in the case of Dostoevsky. And then he has deaths of his own children to deal with. Death is all is death all over the writing then as well?
It is. I think it's easy to forget when you're reading in the 21st century that death was not something that was kind of hidden away in the same way, and it was much more prevalent. His brother died in his 30s. His first wife, unfortunately, died of consumption, which is how his mother died. His father, I mean, at the best, died of alcoholism. At the worst, was potentially murdered by his peasants. And then, sadly, two of his four children died very, very young as well. So it was never really far from his mind. Many of the people he loved most dearly in the world, really, were taken away from him too young.
Now, the way that you go about telling his story is very interesting. It's a mix, if you like, of Dostoevsky's own writing, direct quotes from his own writing, and then your own possibly almost explanation or setting up of those pieces of writing. Explain how you went about it.
Yeah, so he always wanted to write a memoir. There's a bit in one of his notebooks late on in his life where he writes a tick list of four things he's going to do, and the third one's write my memoirs. He never gets around to it, unfortunately. But you do see these little glimpses of autobiographical writing throughout his work. So I wanted to look at everything that we know about his life and to see if it was possible to sort of create a kind of a collage or a tapestry of those autobiographical quotations so that you could almost get into his head and see how he thought, how he saw the world. I mean, there are some books that are obviously very helpful. There's a sort of semi-autobiographical book called Notes from the House of the Dead, which talks a lot about what it's like to be in prison. And then there are other little glimpses that you get which you have to sort of slightly unearth. So one of his earliest memories is being taken to church by his mother and seeing a dove fly in through one window of the cupola and out the other. And for some reason, this image sort of stuck with him until he was an old man.
Are there aspects of his life that you think are directly reflected then in some of the really well-known novels, like, say, for example, Crime and Punishment?
Yeah, in Crime and Punishment, the epilogue, I hope I'm allowed to give spoilers for a 200-year-old book, but there's a punishment. When Raskolnikov, the main character, is in Siberia, he kind of looks out across the steppe and he sees these kind of nomadic tribes in distance. And it's very similar to Dostoevsky's experience of prison, actually. And some of the feelings that Raskolnikov goes through, these sort of complex feelings, almost of relief at having been caught and not having to hide anymore, you know, they feel very emotionally true, although the clearly the facts of the novel point in a different direction. You can see there's a real emotional truth there.
What about the gambling aspect of Dostoevsky's life? I mean, he seemed to be permanently broke. How quickly did gambling take hold of him, and how much was it responsible for his being constantly broke?
Well, he did love to gamble. Unfortunately, he thought he had a system. He was convinced he had a foolproof system. So his brother Mikhail died, and he took on some huge debt on behalf of his family to sort of keep his in-laws afloat. And he thought he was going to win it all back at the roulette table. Kind of goes without saying, it went absolutely terribly, and he actually ended up writing a novel called The Gambler to pay off his gambling debts. You know, at one point he couldn't pay his hotel bills, so he was literally just living off tea. He'd go out at 3 p.m. every day, so they didn't know he wasn't having dinner. You know, he pawned all his things, including his second wife's wedding ring. It really took over his life for the best part of a decade. And then one day he sort of swore on his life to Anna, his second wife, that he'd never do it again. And true to his word, he went cold turkey the rest of his life.
Wow. And I suppose to a certain extent, some of those events are directly there in The Gambler, the story of The Gambler that's told in that novel. But you've mentioned a first wife and how she died of consumption. There was a second wife, Anna. And there was another very important woman in his life, a woman called Polina in the 1860s.
Yeah. So The Gambler, the novel, has a love interest who's incredibly infuriating called Polina. And it's not a stretch to say this was based on a real young woman he knew called Polina. He spent the summer of 1863 chasing her around Europe, essentially, and she was sort of stringing him along. At this point, he was still married to his first wife, but effectively estranged from her. Unfortunately, Polina was in love herself with a Spanish medical student called Salvador. And it all sort of came to a head one night, and they were in a hotel room in Baden-Baden, and he finally made his bold gambit, and he tried to sort of stoop down and kiss her foot, and she recoiled, and the relationship never really recovered after that night.
He didn't really receive a claim fully. You did mention, yeah, the big breakthrough with the first novel, but then all sorts of the political machinations of his life, I suppose, associations, and this idea that he might have been involved in some kind of sedition around the Tsar caused him trouble earlier on. But the real acclaim came with the serialization of the brothers Karamazov in the latter part of his life. Why do you think it took so long?
I think one of the reasons that it took so long was that everyone was constantly convinced that he was like working for the enemy. You know, it was really important at the time that people sort of subscribed to a tendency. So either you were kind of left-wing radical or you were a right-wing reactionary and you were going to defend the Tsar. And he kind of went all over the place, and he'd publish one novel in a conservative journal and, you know, start getting fans there. And then he'd give his next novel to their arch rival. And he was very, very good at falling out with people, particularly other writers around him. I mean, it has to be said, he wasn't the easiest person to be around, even though he was a great novelist. So I think it reached a point where people sort of couldn't deny his literary talent. It wasn't necessarily that everyone was itching to do him a favor, because, as I say, he was quite a sort of stubborn, difficult man. But you look at a novel like The Brothers Karamazov and you can't deny that it's a work of genius.
So he, for you, is up there with all of those great 19th century Russian writers that we think of. Tolstoy, Turgenev, etc., yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think he gives a completely different perspective because, you know, he was devoted to raising up the downtrodden and giving them a voice. You know, he wasn't writing novels of the gentry. And I think his novels give you a window into a world that others weren't really writing about. So in that way, I think he is quite unique.
All right. OK, that's Alex Christofi there speaking to us about his current. It's almost like a novel, but it is a biography of Dostoevsky. It's called Dostoevsky in Love, and it's published by Bloomsbury.